church, and I asked him to just come and just share his heart with us tonight in the scriptures that God has given him, the stories that God has given him, and we're looking for this to be a blessed night. So with no further ado, let's give Parker a hand as he comes up to share God's word.
Thank you, Pastor Matt. Appreciate it. So good to see you all tonight, Harvest, and those online. Of course, I'm Scotch-Irish, so today, St. Patrick's Day, is a special day. I am not wearing green, but being Irish, I don't think anybody wants to pinch me. I don't know. But, you know, it's been a really interesting time as we've been going on this sermon series, Back on Track. I don't know about you, but I've been really blessed by this and really provoked. Have you been provoked at all? I've been provoked. And now that we're back on track, what do we do now? And so as I was asking the Lord, what do you want me to speak on tonight? The Lord just put on the oil that sustains. And so we need a fuel source to sustain where we're going. And it's critical and it's important. I want to just pause right here because throughout the series Back on Track, something really interesting happened. About 3 weeks ago, I was in Rite Aid. And I know I look a little young to be in Rite Aid. But I was in there and I was doing some shopping and I saw a posture brace, a brace I can put on to kind of make my posture feel better. Over the years, I've had some back issues, went to the chiropractor and I thought, you know what? I need to get this. And so I put it on and it was hurting because it was a little uncomfortable, right? It's a little uncomfortable. But my posture's kind of nice and tall and straight, right? But after a while, I began to kind of feel that pressure and it was uncomfortable. It was uncomfortable because guess what? My body's not used to being nice and straight. But we all know that if my back is not in alignment, my head's not going to be in its right position because my spine has to hold my head, right? And so in this season, in this period, as we're getting back on track, it's going to be a little painful when we get back on that track. So in this season, roll with us. Roll with Pastor Matt. That as we get things situated and straight, because it's going to take some pain. And I came one Sunday morning, and I kind of sat down in the front row, and I was all kind of sitting like this, you know, and Evie looks at me, and she's like, you have your posture brace on? And I was like, yes, I do. And I leaned over to her, and I said, well, you know, I noticed something. My posture's really bad, and when I sing, I kind of go like this. You know, I'm worshiping the Lord. Oh, Holy Spirit, come. You know, and I have like this duck thing or turtle, and I don't like it. It doesn't look good. So it's like, okay, God, we're going to get that posture. I don't have it on tonight because it kind of hurts, you know? But anyway, God's heart and his desire is that we come and he comes with fire. And we've been praying. I've been coming a lot these last several Wednesday nights, and we've been crying out for fire. And I love fire. I love Holy Spirit fire, and it's really important. But you know what's interesting about fire? It purifies, right? It purifies. And I've been a part of a number of ministries over the years, and, you know, we cry out for God. God, move in fire. We sing songs about fire. Fire of God, come and burn in us, burn in us. And these are important songs. Really good songs, good messages. But do we know what we ask when we ask for holy fire? Fire burns. It purifies. And I want to take you to Isaiah chapter 6, verse 6 through 7. And it says, then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth, and he said, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin is atoned for. In this process, there was a burning and it purified. It renewed and made clean. Fire burns. It's hot. It's intense. It can be painful. How many of you have been burned with fire? You remember it. It's in your mind, but it's painful. What does it mean to have the holy fire? Well, according to Isaiah, it means we're purified, we're cleansed. And I want to bring a bit of a word tonight that's a little harsh in the sense I believe the body, the corporate body of Christ, is going through the fire of God. and we're seeing a purifying process. And as we get back on track, we need to understand that God's no longer tolerating the sin. He's no longer tolerating the impurity. So all of a sudden the fire burns and it renews and it makes clean. All of a sudden you see Isaiah and he's saying, I want to be used by God and I am a man of unclean lips. So God's reaction is saying, you know what? I'm going to bring a coal of fire. And I want to, there's something here and it says it's a live coal. It's a live coal. It's not just a coal, it's just been simmering. It's live, it's hot. There's been a flame on it. If you think about the altar and the temple, there was a flame. So I would like to look at this as the flame of holy, the holy fire. We cry out for the fire, but do we really know what it means to have the fire? One of my points is the fire can come, and when we are in that process now, yet that flame needs a fuel source to sustain it. We talk a lot about the fire. We need the fire. We want the fire. But is there a fuel source? I love building fires. And pretty much every home that I've been in, there's always been a fireplace. The fire's nice, but I need a fuel source to keep that fire going. We are in agreement with that. Now, in this case, there's wood. In our case, what's our fuel? What is our fuel? Because we can cry out for more fire, 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 but we need a fuel source. If you turn with me to Matthew 25, verse 1 through 13. And the reason we need that fuel source is because it needs to sustain the move of God. So many moves of God have died out because there was no fuel. And if there was fuel, was it a pure fuel? And we'll talk about that in a little bit, because there's important to have a pure fuel source. Because if you don't have it, it will only burn for a certain amount of time and then it will go out. In Matthew 25, verse 1 through 13, it says, at that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish one said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there was more, not enough for both of us." Instead, "go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went out with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, others came and said, "Lord, Lord," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "Truly I tell you, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." The next point I want to talk about is a time to prepare and the place of expectation. We need to be in expectation of what God is going to do. We've been crying in our prayer meetings, "God, would you move? Would you move in our community?" But are we preparing? Are we preparing? The lamps bring light only to a small area. And so many times, even myself, I want the clarity of God. I want the big picture. And yet God's saying, "No, right here, right here, in the now." And so sometimes we want, "God, what is God doing for this year or in 2 years or the 5-year plan?" But God's saying, "No, it's in this moment. What are you doing here? Harvest, what are we doing now to get back on track?" So when we have our lamps, it's not a spotlight, it's a lamp. And it goes forward. We already talked about the coal from the altar was a purifying fire, and it's the holy. And I want to call this house to a place of holy. I want to call the church to a place of holy. I'm going to call the place of the pulpit to holy tonight. It's time to purify the house of God. So the lamps and the light in our lamp means that we walk with God with holy fire, that we're set apart people. I got to tell you, every place that I go, I carry the light. You know how I know I carry the light? Because I can't get away with anything. And it's not like I'm trying, but every time I get comfortable, all of a sudden there's somebody that I know. And it's like, oh, hi, how you doing? And there's a remembrance, God saying to me, hey, son, I want you to remember you carry the light, you carry the holy, you carry the purifying fire of God. And every time, I had a conversation today with one of my coworkers, and all of a sudden they brought up something to me that, and the church world has been a little divisive, almost, some call it a heaven or hell issue. And she said to me, well, Parker, what's your thoughts? And I said, my thoughts. And she said, I thought you would be against it because of religious thought process. And I said, no. But she's watching me. She's watching me because I'm carrying a light. I'm carrying a light. You're carrying a light. Harvest is carrying a light, and they're watching. They're watching if we are holy. We're watching how we respond in crisis. They're watching how we respond to world events and trauma. They're watching. They're watching how we're handling COVID. They're watching. They might not say anything, but they're watching. So my encouragement to you is, are we walking with the holy? We can catch the fire and we can share fire. I can lay hands on somebody and they can get the purifying fire of God. And this is important, but we know that the flame will not last. Pastor Matt, myself, Pastor Brad, they can lay hands on you tonight and you can go out the door and it will last for maybe an hour. It could last a week, but it needs a fuel source. It needs something to keep the ignition going, the flame burning. Something that I love about our Christmas Eve service that's beautiful is at the end we begin to sing a Christmas carol and all of a sudden we light the candle. And it's just a representation that we carry the light of the world. And it's a beautiful and a powerful thing. But there's a fuel source. It's that candle wax. And it continues to keep that flame burning. I want to say something to you. Our fuel source is the oil. As you read in Matthew, there is that fuel. How do we get this fuel? It's important. And as we read in the scripture, you cannot transfer that oil. It's non-transferable. You must buy it. You have to buy it. Verse 8, it says, the foolish ones said to the wise, give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out. No, they replied. There may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell and buy some for yourselves. I like this. They said no. The holy anointed, no. This seems weird because you would think, hey, it's okay. It's the Christian thing to do. But oil is non-transferable. I'm going to tell you something. There's a cost to having the fuel. There's a cost to having the Spirit. There's a cost to having that oil of the Spirit. What's that cost to you? I'm going to tell you something. There's a price. There's always a price. And I think we've treated things flippantly in the house, not necessarily in harvest, but as a body of Christ in general. We come in on a Sunday morning. We spend maybe 20 minutes in worship. What's the cost? We take communion. What's the cost? We go to a conference. What's the cost? We open our Bibles in the morning. What's that cost? Is it costing us 5 minutes? Is it costing us that cup of coffee? Is it costing us an hour of sleep? What's the cost, beloved? Because each time I learn something, there's a price, and it's a beautiful thing. Many of you know that I just got engaged to my beautiful fiance, Evie. But I'm going to tell you something. The reality of it, it's cost me a lot. And I'm not joking. Those of you that know me, know my family storyline. It's cost me a family relationship. It's cost me a lot. Over the years, it's cost me pushing aside other relationships. It's cost me a place of being a pure man of God. When there are times when something walked by and I was distracted and I thought, I want that. There was a cost, beloved. But I want to tell you, I hung in there. And it's worth it. It's worth it. So when I tell you, get into the place of prayer, it's worth it. When I tell you, get into the place of worship, it's worth it. When I tell you, when we get back on track and we're on track and you pour into this community, beloved, it's worth it. What's the cost? And every Sunday morning when I come in, there's this understanding that there's a transaction going on between heaven and earth. I want to tell you something. Just as much as we are flesh, we walk in a supernatural realm that's on 24/7. It never shuts down. It never shuts off. And with that realization, we need to understand what we put into our hearts and our minds. I'm going to talk about that in a second. But I realized something. King David went ahead and said this in Samuel 24:24. It says, but the king, David, replied to Arauna, no, I insist on paying for it. I will not sacrifice the Lord my God burnt offerings that cost me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen and paid 50 shekels of silver for them. This was in a season, in a moment that was really important to Israel. And someone was giving this property to David. And David said, no, I'm not going to take it unless it costs me something. If it's not costing us something, take a moment, take a pause. Is it worth it? Is it worth it? Yes, sometimes I think we can kind of cheat and take some oil from somebody else. And I'll explain. But Scripture says, God will never be mocked. For whatever you plant, there will always be a very one thing that you will harvest. The harvest you reap reveals the seed that you planted. If you plant the corrupt seed of self-life into this natural realm, you can expect a harvest of corruption. If you plant the good seeds of the Spirit of life, you will reap beautiful fruits that grow from everlasting life of the Spirit. Galatians 6, 7 through 8. This is important. God's not going to be mocked. I can turn on YouTube and I can watch a video. I can see somebody like Jay Thomas or someone from Maverick City, and they have the anointing, they have the oil, and I can sit there in the moment and I can worship and I can allow that oil to kind of soak on me for a second, but I can't take that oil and preach out of it. I can't take that oil and come up here and sing out of it. God's not going to be mocked. Go buy oil, beloved. Go buy oil. Matthew 25, verse 9. It says, no, they replied, there may not be enough for us. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourself. You can buy oil from a few places. You can get it from the enemy. You can get it from God. You can get it from other sources. You can get it from other houses of worship. But guard where you're getting it from, because it needs to be a pure source. I had the opportunity a number of years ago to take a three-day holiday, a three-day time with God, and it was beautiful. Someone gifted me a time to go to the Outer Banks, and I was there, and I worshiped. I just met with God and God with me, and it was a powerful exchange. A couple of years went by, and I realized I'm dry. I need something. And so I was trying to, in my mind, think, well, you know, I'm trying to plan for my future. I need to do a few things. And yet God said to me, no, I want you to pay for this. I didn't use vacation days at my work because it was going to cost me something. I said, this time with God's going to cost me. And I saw some beautiful things happen with God and I. And there was this heavenly transaction. So I want to encourage you, go be with God. Take that time, worship, fast, and pray. My fifth point, there's a cost to sustain the movement of God. And I want to tell you something. The movement of God is happening. We're in the revival. It's not coming. We're in it. I'm seeing it all around us. So what are we doing now to prepare? Are we going to be caught like the five foolish virgins? And all of a sudden we hear the bridegroom say, I'm here, or he's coming, and we go try to run and get some oil. I was able to, a few years ago, to go to Israel. And for those who have been there, you've probably went to the Yad Hashmona kibbutz. And there they kind of have a garden area, and they have a little mock olive press where they make olives. And they started kind of talking about the place and how the connection of making olives helped create oil. And it talked about the pressing. The first pressing is the highest quality in this process. And that generally goes to the temple. The second one usually is food or perfume. The third is usually for oil lamps and making soap. I'm going to share something with you as we, in the next 2.5 weeks to three, go ahead and we start celebrating Easter. I want to bring up the thought that Jesus, he went, and where did he go? He went to the Garden of Gethsemane. That is a place where the olives are and olive presses. And part of the process is a crushing, a pressing. He was there and he was pressed. One time, he gets up and goes to the disciples. A second time, a third time, this is for oil. This is for the oil. This is the pressing for the oil. Go buy oil, beloved. Go buy oil. It's important because we need the prophetic purified. How many of you have been burnt by the prophetic? It's because the source was not a pure oil. How many of us have been burnt by those in the pulpit? It was because it wasn't a pure word. We need to buy oil. It needs to be pressed and pressed and pressed. Go buy oil. Could you go ahead and stand with me? I feel someone is watching right now and you've struggled with an issue. And I feel the chains falling off right now. And I hear the Lord saying that he wants to take you into a new depth and a new place. And it's as if you can't hold a job and there's a couple of other things. And it's like smoking. And God's saying, if you let it go, and it is with a connection with a heart issue, and it's you feel like you don't matter. And God's saying, just let that go because you matter. And as you let that go, God's going to showcase his heart and his love to you tonight. Hallelujah. If you just open up your hands. If you want the oil of God, if you feel like right now you're dry, just open your hands and just receive from God right here and right now. And we're going to ask God just to pour fresh oil over us. So, Father, would you come and show us how to receive that fresh oil, that we will not take it lightly, that we'll understand that there is a cost, that we understand that it takes oil to sustain the move of God, that we're in this moment, God. That we want to burn with the holy. We want to burn with the holy. So tonight, would you come and invade as we go into the time of prayer afterwards, that we understand that we need the oil of the Spirit to sustain the movement of God, that we understand that we need the flame of fire of holy. Come, God, with the holy. Come, God, with the holy and burn. Burn in the prophetic. Burn as we speak and we preach. Burn as we serve in this community, God. Ora mama. Stay in this moment and allow an exchange with God, you and him. If you need to repent for not treating the oil with a reverence and a revere, with a time of prayer and a time of fasting. Because we can cry out in this house for more souls, but if we don't have oil to sustain, it will not be sustainable. So God, we say, would you sustain? Sustain, sustain, sustain. I feel like someone right now with back issues, that right now God's healing and touching right now, that it's like a stiffness. God wants to heal and touch that. Right now God wants to heal someone with your eyes. It's like you have a speck in your eye, in your right eye. God just wants to clear that right now in Jesus' name. Someone right now with vocal issues, he wants to heal that in Jesus' name. Somebody else with self-worth, identity issues, God's just blessing you right now with the identity of heaven in Jesus' name. Right now, Harvest, I just want to bless you right now. I feel like there's been garments of the old, and I just feel God just saying, I'm stripping that off right now because I'm calling you into a place to burn with holy fire in this community, and that it's going to be a bonfire in Jesus' mighty name. So I bless you, Harvest, to burn with a holy fire, with the oil to sustain, to ignite Chesapeake and the 757 with the vision and the hope of God right now in Jesus' name. So flow with the holy. Flow with the holy in Jesus' name. The beautiful thing about St. Patrick was he ignited a fire in Ireland. And he started a fire before the king started the fire for a pagan holiday. And I believe that, Harvest, you're going to start a fire for King Jesus that will outshine every pagan thing, that it will break the yoke and oppression that the enemy wants to bring over Chesapeake and the 757. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Be blessed, Harvest.